I have to make a confession that I sinned yesterday, even during Mass, and even during the Eucharistic prayer. Because, you know, since our bishop retired, you're not supposed to mention Bishop Michael Giles' name. And I did. I sinned. No, it wasn't a sin, but a mistake, and I figured it was going to happen, right? Ever since, what was it, February the 15th or so, that Pope Francis announced that Bishop Douglas Desautels was going to be our new bishop. At that point, he accepted the retirement of Bishop Michael Giles. So if I remember at the Mass today, I will not mention Bishop Giles' name because he's technically no longer our bishop. He's still living in the area, and we actually rehired him as the administrator for the diocese the day after he was retired. So I said, Bishop, how was your 24-hour retirement? He said, oh, it was great, not very long. And so he will be our administrator until Bishop Desautels takes his office here on April the 27th. So we still have about two more months to go. And this is the first bishop from Evangeline Parish. So we should all be excited. He's from Basile. And he's one of eight children. So he's got a lot of brothers and sisters, nephews and nieces and great nephews and great nieces and relatives in the area. So I know he's going to treat Evangeline Parish very well. And he studied for our Diocese of Lafayette, but he was sent to the seminary in Dallas, where I later went after he was ordained and graduated from there. But he started, you know, the seminary in Dallas, but studying for Lafayette. And I think they wanted to bring him to the seminary in Covington at some point. Again, Covington, St. Ben's. And he said, I like Dallas too much, so I'm going to switch to the Dallas Diocese. And the bishop there accepted him. I'm sure they were in need of vocations there. And so now we can say that the prodigal son is returning home as he comes back to his home diocese of Lafayette. So we will welcome him with great joy and excitement as we have the seventh bishop of the Diocese of Lafayette. So tomorrow is Leap Day, and this only happens every 4 years. And we have to use our time wisely. So we're going to get an extra 24 hours. How are you going to use your 24 hours, right? It's only every 4 years that we get this blessing. And because of a pope, only on the centuries that are divisible by 400 do we have a leap day. So in the year 2000, which is divisible by 400, we had a leap day that century. 1600, we had a leap day that century year. We won't have another one until the year 2400. And why is that? Because it takes the Earth 365.242 days to go around the sun, all right? And the purpose of all these calendar fixer-uppers is that if we didn't have these leap days, then we'd be celebrating summer in December before long. And that would be very confusing, right? So we have to keep the calendar in line with the solar year, the time that it takes the Earth to go around the solar year. And because we use 365 and a quarter as our norm, so every 4 years we have this leap year, but that's a little bit too much. And it's about 11 minutes and something seconds too much. And you add those up, in 100 years, and you're already off by a couple of days. And so Pope Gregory the 13th was the one who in 1582 said, only in the century years that are divisible by 400 will we have a leap day. And that brought us very close to what the Earth is doing around the sun. It won't be another 3,200 years before we're off by a whole day. So I don't think any of us are going to be around for that. So that's a pretty good calendar. But how do we use our time? That is the theme of our readings today. And I want to start with a true story of a man who invented dynamite and bombs and all sorts of stuff and made a fortune over it and sold it to governments and things like that. He had licensed it and patented it. And so governments were buying this up for their wars. And his name was Alfred Nobel. And One day, Alfred's brother died, and the newspaper printed mistakenly, they thought it was Alfred who had died, they put up an obituary of Alfred. So he's one of the few people in the world who has had the privilege of reading his own obituary in the newspaper. All right. And what did it say about him? It said he will be known for making dynamite and bombs and stuff and for mass destruction throughout the world. And he was troubled by that. He did not want to be remembered as the man who killed a lot of people indirectly, you could say. And so he changed his life. His fortune that he had amassed, he started to have awards for people who did things that supported life rather than death. And we know it today as the Nobel Peace Prize. Alfred Nobel, the Nobel Peace Prize. And who won it in 1964? Martin Luther King Jr., right? The youngest person ever to receive at the age of 35 to receive the Nobel Peace Prize, 1964. So Black History Month quiz here. And so what a great thing that this man, he saw that he had a limited time left on this earth, and so he changed his life. He wanted to do something positive rather than negative. And that is what Jesus is calling each and every one of us to do as well. Because you heard in the gospel today how these people told Jesus about, what about these people from Galilee, these Jews from Galilee, like, you know, all the apostles were from Galilee, and Galilee was a political hotbed, you know. And they said, Pilate killed these Jews while they were offering their sacrifices in the temple, and their own blood was mixed with the blood of the animals that they were sacrificing to God. It was a great abomination in the temple of Jerusalem. And Jesus said, do you think they're any more guilty than all the other Galileans? And Jesus said, no. Because it was an Old Testament belief that if you sinned, then something bad was going to happen to you. You remember the book of Job? And Job had suffered the loss of all of his family and all of his property and everything. And all these other people came to comfort him saying, hey, you must be a bad sinner that all this happened to you, right? And but Job was innocent, okay? So that was an Old Testament way of thinking. God doesn't act like that, right? The good and the bad falls down on the good and the bad indiscriminately, however it happens, all right? And then they gave another case. What about these 18 people who were killed when this tower fell on them in Jerusalem? And Jesus said, you think they were more guilty than anybody else in Jerusalem? He said, no. But he says, if you do not repent, you're going to end up like them. Spiritually dead, right? Not physically dead. We're all going to die the physical death. But we don't want to die the spiritual death, which is hell, which is separation from God forever, for all eternity, right? And so Jesus said, you've got a limited time left on this earth. Use it wisely. Repent of your sins. We're all sinners, except for Jesus and Mary. And so we have to repent. But God, he gives us time. That was the point of the parable that Jesus said, the fig tree, right? That had been going for 3 years and didn't produce fruit. And pretty much they figured, if it doesn't produce fruit in 3 years, it's not going to do it. So get rid of it. It's stealing the nutrients in the soil. Put another seedling in there and let it grow and produce fruit, right? And in the Old Testament, the symbol for Israel was a fig tree. And so the gardener says to the owner, let it go one more year. I will fertilize it and give it some tender loving care, and let's see if it will produce some fruit. If not, then you can cut it down. And so Jesus is saying, he has come to give us this last chance, right? He has come to give us more time to change our lives. But there is an end. God doesn't give us unlimited chances because we're all going to die one day. And once you die, you can't change. That's it. No more opportunity to change. So we all know that we have this limited time on earth, and we want to take advantage of it and not keep putting it off, the change that we need to make in our own personal lives, right? Each and every one of us. And so we are given the very great help of the sacraments. And we heard St. Paul here comparing Moses and what happened to the Israelites in the desert to what Jesus has given to us in the church. So St. Paul said, the Israelites were baptized into Moses, right? When they went through the Red Sea. And he said, we are baptized into Jesus through the sacrament of baptism, right? The name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, what we're going to be celebrating for Mose and Shelton on the Easter Sunday. And so many others around the world at that time as well. And what else did they have in the desert? They had the manna, this heavenly bread that fell, and they were able to collect it and eat it. And St. Paul says, we have Jesus Christ, the true manna, the true bread of life, the true bread come down from heaven, the Blessed Sacrament right here. They were able to drink from a rock. Remember, Moses struck the rock, and the rock started pouring out water in the desert so the people could drink to their heart's content. And so we have, St. Paul says, our spiritual drink from Jesus, the rock who was struck on the cross, right? The soldier pierced his side with a lance, and water and blood flowed out, okay? The sacramental life of the church, water for baptism, blood and the body of Christ for the Eucharist. All of this, these sacraments coming from the Sacred Heart of Jesus our Lord. But St. Paul's point is, we've been given a lot more than the Israelites. So let us not grumble and complain and sin against the Lord and come to an even worse fate than they did in the desert. Okay, we've been given so much more. And how much more is expected of us? So let us definitely use these 40 days of Lent to draw ever closer to our Lord and receive Him in grace and in love and transform our lives and reach out to those who are in need around us. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, these are the ways that the Lord truly transforms our hearts and our souls. Now, I want to invite all of you to take advantage of Leap Day by coming to Mission. Father Hampton Davis, pastor of Queen of Peace Parish in Lafayette, African-American parish in Lafayette, is going to be preaching the mission at Sacred Heart of Church, Sacred Heart Church, and everybody's invited Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So I would ask you to please make that extra effort to come out, just like we had a great mission here with Father Joshua Johnson, really great preacher. Take advantage of this three-day mission. And Father Hampton is excited about preaching a mission on Leap Day. He says, I've never preached a mission on Leap Day. So tell everybody this is a Leap Day mission, that we are going to take advantage of this extra 24 hours to give praise, because there's always a special grace that is given during a mission. And so I really encourage all of you to come, and let's pack the church for Father Hampton Davis. He's a great, dynamic preacher. I know you will enjoy him. If you come the first night, I'm positive you're going to come all three nights. So come Monday night, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at Sacred Heart, and enjoy the beginning of that mission. So we all have a limited amount of time, and like Alfred Nobel, we want to take advantage of it, transform our lives so that we can be truly close to our Lord. And I'd like to end with this little poem that maybe you've heard at a funeral before, and it's entitled, How Do You Live Your Dash? I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came her date of birth, but he said what mattered most of all was the little dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy's being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Amen.